This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. In recent years, a 160-acre tract of blufftop land, the Upper Hixson Forest, has become a popular spot for bikers, hikers, birdwatchers, and many more. When the city of La Crosse acquired the land nearly 50 years ago, records show it was destined to someday be a park, but the legal paperwork was never finished. Now, some city officials want to finally designate it as a park, but a couple city council members want to take some time to consider developing houses on the property that could bring in more tax revenue. I talked with La Crosse Parks and Recreation Director Steve Caroline about the issue. He starts by explaining the history of the Upper Hixson Forest.
In 1962, the city of La Crosse sold to the University of Wisconsin what was called the City Fairgrounds, which currently is where your stadium sits. And the city sold that property to the university for expansion and purposes such as you've got today. And then in 1963, the University of Wisconsin out of Madison, the Board of Regents, decided to sell the University of Wisconsin La Crosse's experimental farm, which is the property we're talking about, the 160 acres that sits up on top of the bluff. It was a pretty interesting arrangement. There was a resolution introduced by the park board, went through all the committees in the city, went before the city council, and a resolution was approved to purchase the property. And it was purchased specifically for the purpose of a park. The arrangement that was made at that time between the mayor and one of the Board of Regents members at the University of Wisconsin was that the university would sell the property to the city for $1 over whatever the highest bid was that they got, and they would close the bids. So they got bids for that 160 acres, about, $43,000. And then the city added $1 to the highest bid, and the agreement was done. And then subsequent to that, the university came back through and gave the city the property buildings that were there. There was a house and a barn and a couple other things. So that became city property with the intention of a park. That was a long time ago. And it's been used as a park. It's a beautiful natural area. We've done a lot of work in the past, different groups specifically related to the Hixson Forest and assessing the plants and the animals that are up there. There's a series of around 17 species of birds that are neotropical that transfer through there and they're wherever they're going. There's a couple protected plants in that area, orchid specific. We've just finished not only a geological assessment, but we also did an archaeological assessment. There was some indication there might have been some artifacts in there because we're going to put a trail through part of that. Well, as I sat down and had an opportunity to apply for some state money, similar to what we used for Granddad's Bluff, the $400,000 we got to work on that project, I was missing a piece of the grant application, and that was the resolution dedicating that as a piece of park property, because the state money is through the Knoll Stewardship Program, and it's for urban park development. I didn't have that. So that's when I started this. I wanted to get it designated as a park because it should have been done initially in 63. That's the one piece of the legislation they left out. Now, when you do that in the state of Wisconsin, your state codes are so protective of park property that you basically have to go to court to change the purpose of anything that's designated as a park. And that was all presented to the council. So the question is, at this point, should you develop it for residential use or should you dedicate it as a park? 15 years ago, the city studied putting in residential services up in that particular area and those adjoining housing areas that are there. If you can imagine what it would cost to run sewer and water up to that location, in addition to what it would cost for additional costs related to fire support and police support, they determined it was uneconomical to put city services in. Therefore, people that are up there have their own wells, their own septic systems, and they pay substantially less in property tax than you would pay as a resident in the city of La Crosse where you receive all that benefit. And I think the council's done the right thing.
In this most current discussion?
Sure. It's a very important decision. It's not something you turn around in a week and change your mind. It's permanent. And they do take the due diligence to think it through and make sure that what they believe and why they're doing it is for the right reasons for the community.
So why 50 years ago, why was it not designate as a park? I mean, you said that once you make it a park, it's most likely going to be a park unless you go to court. But
I think it was an oversight. I know that the resolution reads the purpose of buying it and the allocation of the funds is for park purposes. But then you have to follow that up with a resolution from the city council saying this is a permanent park. You know, we have properties that are within the city that that hasn't been done yet to. A good example is Bluffview Park. It was an old school site that there was a trade made, and now we use it as a park, but it hasn't been formally dedicated a park. So the opportunity exists if at some time the council decides they want to put houses there. They could section that off and sell it off. That's the other concern about this area is that there is a it's unlikely, but there is a possibility that if at some point the city council decides that it's the best interest of the community to put a wind farm up there, they can do that. Once it becomes a park, that takes that opportunity away. So they really need to think about what they're doing, and they need to ensure that this is not a short-term solution. La Crosse is very unique in their park system. I've been in this business for a long time, and you have a John Nolan design system here. He was an understudy of Frederick Law Olmsted. He hung around with Frank Lloyd Wright. You have a very unique park system here. And the whole idea of creating parkland is not so much of an importance for today as it is for tomorrow, because once that becomes a park, the children of today's children will be the ones that will benefit from it. So it's a very important decision.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. My guest today is Steve Caroline. He is the La Crosse Parks and Recreation Director. So next week, the City Council will revisit this issue of whether to designate the Upper Hixson Forest as a park or whether it could be developed upon. And that discussion period could be extended. We don't know. But what has been going on in the last 30 days? Have there been studies? Has there been information compiled just to say whether this is property that can be developed upon?
Well, there's no question it could be developed on. I mean, you can develop on any of the parks. That's not an issue. The question is, should you develop on it? You need to keep that in mind. This is not about putting houses on a piece of property. This is about a legacy for the future of this community. It's also got a very integral part to play in, there's a group of citizens that have formed called Silent Sports. And if you Google Silent Sports, you'll see what that kind of signature is all about. The mission or the scope is to brand La Crosse as a destination point for silent sports activities, which are downhill mountain biking, cross-country biking, snowshoeing, cross-country skiing, bird watching, butterfly collecting.
Biking,
mushroom hunting. It's a whole variety of activities. And the idea, the purpose is to let the region, which is five states around here, know about the resources that are here. I've only been here 5 years. I understand what's here, and I don't take it as something that's always been here. And I've lived all over the world in the United States. This is so unique. This is so opportunistic for development as a destination for people to enjoy the outdoor activities that are here. People that live here, they know the river, they know the bluffs. It's always been here. They assume it will always be here. And that's because people like Hixson and Coleman and Gund and Myrick in 1906 did what we're trying to do right now. They designated pieces of property as park. It would have been very easy back then to build buildings on those, commercial and residential, but they had the foresight to see the future, and fortunate for you and I that happened.
So you said part of the discussion is whether we should be developing on this area, but isn't there a topography issue up there?
Yeah, you could get about 16 house lots up there. Basically, they'd be on both sides of the road that cuts through there. So if you did build houses, you'd essentially split the Hixson Forest in half. Right now, it's connected. So you can go up through a trail system down by the golf course and go all the way up and across the road and into this city farm property, which then connects into the MVC property, which is about 1,000 acres of property that will never have any development on it. It's also important, I think, for the council to understand that they've spent $1.7 million on buying every piece of property around this one with the sole purpose of not allowing it to be developed. And, I mean, sometimes it confuses me to think, why would you do that and then turn around and build houses right in the middle of your effort to create this natural, open, recreational area that runs 8 miles across the top of the city of La Crosse. Is the purpose to stop development? It sure is. That's exactly what it is. Not to build anything up there and to keep it as it is.
So in this last 30 days, has it been more of an educational time for some city council members to sit back and think about it? Or has anything actually happened?
Oh, I think a lot's happened. One of the exciting things to happen is to check out Facebook and see while the community has become active and they're standing up and letting the elected officials know how they feel. At the same time, many of those people that have become active have been thanking their city council members for taking a look at this and considering making this a park. I haven't noticed any reactionary negative tone coming out of the people that are involved. And there's 1,800 signatures on a petition. There's 900 people that are hitting Facebook. And they're all
I think they're up to 1,000
today. Up to 1,000, yep. Okay. But they're excited. They think it's great. They appreciate city government taking the opportunity to have the foresight to plan ahead for the future and develop this property as a destination point for people to enjoy, whether you hike, you walk your dog, you bike, you bird watch, any of those activities. And the other thing that's exciting for me is to see the people that are showing up at the different meetings, all different ages, with kids. Some people's kids have grown up and left the area. Young professionals coming in that are talking about they went to school here, they moved away from here, and they came back here, in some cases took a less-paying job because when they were exposed to La Crosse through the university, they saw the bluffs and the river, and they're choosing a lifestyle. They're choosing an opportunity to live their life in a way that fits their particular needs and wants versus moving to an area where they're going to get paid more money to do whatever their profession happens to be. And those conversations came from teachers, from doctors, from physician assistants, a wide range of people in the different meetings that we've been to.
Some city council members have suggested that this land in the Upper Hixson Forest could be divided up into parcels, so you could have some part as parkland and some could be developed upon. What's your thoughts behind that?
I think that's a mistake. I think what you do is then you begin to break apart the beauty of what you have. Some people are calling it pocket parks. That's not a pocket park. I mean, that's 160 acres. A pocket park is an acre or two. If you break it apart and you have a residential piece down the middle of it, now you've got user conflicts between people that are going to be using the natural area and people are going to be living there. If I have a home and I'm sitting on the back, I don't want a lot of people riding mountain bikes through my backyard. So therefore, I'm going to be a little concerned about that. And the people that are riding mountain bikes then lose the access to the property. Those that just wander around and check out the different vegetation. I mean, there's a natural prairie up there. That's what it used to be hundreds of years ago. That would begin to degrade itself. So I can't say that you couldn't do that. I mean, realistically, you could. To me, the value, though, is keeping it connected with the Lower Hixson and the Upper Hixson. All is one integral piece of pristine outdoor recreational area. The geological features of this area are unusual. You know, it has never been glaciated. People from all over the United States come here and study the geological features of this area to include this specific 160 acres we're talking about. So I think the way to go is the way it's been done for the last 60 years. Just now formalize it.
I'm curious what would happen. I think you mentioned this at the city council meeting at the beginning of December. Since this land was sold by the University of Wisconsin Extension to the city to be designated as parkland, what would that mean if, you know, the city went back on its word?
I think it's an ethical thing. I mean, can the city do it? Sure. Should they do it? I don't think so. I think you have a responsibility to the legacy of this community on decisions that were made by councils from the beginning of the council up through the current council to respect the value judgments that were made. I mean, if the city really wanted to develop this, they should have developed it 60 years ago. Those developments that are up there right now are 30, 40 years old. I mean, why didn't the city jump on that bandwagon at that time? Because I think the leadership within the city at that time was still respective of the fact that this is a park. I think everybody has assumed it's been a park. nobody's thought about doing anything until I had to bring forward that it hasn't been designated as a park. And once you do that, it will never be anything else. It's like the Hickson Forest. You can't do anything there except enjoy it. You know, would it make sense to put more property into the city? Yes, it would. But there are currently two developments that aren't built out yet, Oneonta Ridge and Waterford Valley. Huge infrastructure support has been put in by the city for water and sewer. There's still phases of that that include up to 50 house lots that haven't been built on. I think the solution to the tax base issue, which people are talking about as the reason for this opportunity, is not in new housing. The solution is to fix the current existing inventory of housing.
Steve Caroline is the City of La Crosse's Parks and Recreation Director. Jim Bladorn is one of the few city council members who suggests that before the Upper Hickson Forest is officially designated a park, the city should study whether it's appropriate to develop the land.
And I initially said that not that I had anything against it, but because I thought it was too big of a deal to just let it slide by and not have some daylight around it. Because we have had complaints for years and years, both by city officials and the general public, that La Crosse has too much property on the tax-exempt rolls and not enough tax money or not enough property being taxed. And that's a combination of education and churches and parks and whatever. There's many, many different facets, or hospitals, of course. So I thought that before we just arbitrarily make a decision that was so difficult to reverse, because it would take court action, not just a vote, to take it away from parkland again once that was actually officially made a park, I really thought it was inappropriate to look at it long and hard. And one of the reasons I feel that way, I guess, is because what has happened is we have had a hue and cry for a city administrator from a few people around here, and yet we have a strong council form of government, and yet the council seems to kind of rubber stamp and gloss over all these important things. And I think really what the council needs to do, and I guess you've heard me say things like this before, the council needs to do its job and not just simply bypass and rubber stamp the department heads.
So since that meeting at the beginning of December, what has happened? I mean, have there been studies looking at whether this is land that could potentially be developed upon?
There has been. There's also been kind of a cry from the people that want to continue using this for the human powered trail system, and with good reason. I think that's a legitimate use for it. A lot of the land is absolutely unbuildable. The 30% grade is such that they can't build on it. And also, one of the things that's been mentioned was the fact that the depth that would take to drill a well up there would be very expensive. Now, having said that, if you go just about 100 yards or so farther down Highway FA, another municipality, I believe it's the town of Madary, has all sorts of very high-end homes built on that dead end, that cul-de-sac, that's just 100 yards away from this land. And therefore, I still don't believe that we're finished looking at this. And I'm not suggesting that this land not be parkland. What I am suggesting is maybe it should be split up, some of it parceled off, or maybe it should all be parkland. I don't know the answer to that. I know some of it cannot be developed, and therefore that obviously can be anything it wants. We have spent so much money with Mississippi Valley Conservancy, who's pretty much done a fine job, except for maybe some paperwork, but they do a good job of maintaining the public conservancy lands in the area. And you kind of have to wonder, can't some of this be dual purpose? Does the city have to spring for all of this? Maybe something like this should really be owned by the county, not the city. There's lots of other things that still haven't been 100% considered or studied.
As you said, there's more to look into, but if this were broken up into and either the city or county had to get utilities up there, does that even out financially with the taxes that does begin to generate?
Well, I'm not so sure that the city would necessarily have to do that. That's one of the things that needs to be looked at, because obviously just a couple of hundred yards away, these people have been able to economically afford to do things like septic systems and drilled wells. And if the town of Madary can do that, then maybe the city could also. Because if you look at the differences in the taxes between the town of Madary and the city of La Crosse, La Crosse is about double.
This may need more discussion, and the city council is supposed to vote on this next week, correct? So, I mean, are you proposing to take more time to look into it, and what else needs to be looked at?
Well, I think, as I've said, all the things that I've mentioned are things that need to be looked at. And there's no pressing need that this has to get done immediately. It's not going anywhere. The trails are there. People can still ski on it. There's no pressing need. It's not been designated officially a park in all the time the city has owned it. What's the rush? Why do we have to do this right now? We won't gain anything from a standpoint of shared revenue from any higher taxing authority or anything like that. There's just no need to rush into something just to say, well, we've got that out of the way.
Jim, is there anything else you want to talk about in regards to the Upper Hixson or the city's handlings of the park or residential area?
Actually, I think the whole idea of having this as a public use trail system is fantastic. The only thing that really worries me is, would I put a swimming pool in my backyard when my roof is leaking? What can we afford to do? And maybe, and I supported this last night after listening to everybody at the Plan Commission, knowing full well that I still want more study. And plain and simply, I don't feel that we can commit to something at this point unless we're absolutely sure we're right, because La Crosse is so overtaxed and the income of the average person in La Crosse is so low that I think sometimes department heads that average, almost three times what the average family in La Crosse makes, sometimes lose sight of that.
Jim Bladorn is a La Crosse City Council member who suggests the city should investigate the possibility of developing on the Upper Hixson Forest. He says he has not spoken with anyone interested in developing on the land. The City Council will take up the Upper Hixson Forest issue at next week's meetings. Coming up in the next half hour, there will be an effort next week in the La Crosse area to educate people about Wisconsin's new voter ID law. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.